Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Colonel Scott Fisher about the Officers Christian Fellowship. Then Navy vet John Campo will share his story and his vision. And, of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. I'm happy to welcome back to the show Colonel Scott Fisher. Scott runs the Officers Christian Fellowship, an organization that serves our military communities around the world and was really important to me. Welcome, Scott. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Denny. It is great to be back with you today.
Start by telling us, Scott, about your time in uniform.
Sure. My wife, Christine, and I served in the Air Force for 27 years. And I do say my wife and I, because anyone who's ever served knows it is the entire family, including kids, who serve and sacrifice. I was primarily an F-16 pilot and instructor, serving around the world and commanding in Korea and Iraq. I also served in a couple of embassies and had 6 years as a liaison with Congress.
And the OCF played a huge role in my wife and my lives. And it all began when we were invited by friends to a home Bible study. And it changed our lives and kept us active in OCF as long as we were on active duty and a little bit after that. Scott, what's the purpose of OCF? And talk particularly about the three distinctives that makes OCF a bit unique.
Yeah, thank you, Denny. We exist to engage military leaders and their family in biblical fellowship and growth, to equip them for Christ-like service at the intersection of faith, family, and profession. We have three main distinctives, as you just mentioned. The first is that we are member-led, with over 15,000 members around the world. We are a ministry to the military community by those in the military community. Our members understand the unique responsibilities, challenges, and joys of military service because they come from the military community. So rather than focusing primarily on staff, our approach of equipping members still wearing the uniform allows OCF to reach into military units and communities, just like you mentioned with your Bible study, because much of our ministry is being conducted by those who are on the ships, in the planes, and wearing the boots on the ground. Second, we emphasize the dual calling of our members, both to our nation and our Lord, to simultaneously being both a military leader and a Christian leader. And many people candidly think that those two callings cannot exist simultaneously, but that's simply not true. We believe that authentic faith must be integrated across family, profession, and all aspects of our lives. And this is at the core of our strategy of reaching the entire military community. And third and finally, we offer lifetime fellowship. OCF is a family, and our ministry happens through relationships. We say OCF for a lifetime because our ministry encompasses both those who are serving and those who have served, from cadets through retirees. And this focus on lifetime membership creates a steady kind of long-term touch point of biblical fellowship for those who serve in one of the world's most tumultuous and challenging professions, as you and I both know.
Well, yes, and you're certainly describing that. The only reason we're not active right now is because we're very active in our church, and now that we've lived in one place for over 30 years, it's a little different. But if we were traveling or moving at all, we know OCF's there for us, and we know how to go to the website and find it. So
absolutely. And sorry, just to jump in, but one thing that you said that's so important is one of the crazy things with military service is just that we move around so many times. I moved 14 times in our career, and many people move more than that. And we enable that connectivity through some of our website at OCFUSA.org, because folks can look and see what groups and what Bible studies are at a certain location, and they can have a contact point with someone that they trust to kind of talk to them about what churches are there, how they can get involved, and what's going on. So that connectivity tissue is incredibly important to what we do as a ministry for the military community.
Yes, sir. When I was on active duty and I was on TDY, maybe over to Germany or somewhere, I just check in with OCF and find out where OCF Bible study was with respect to where I was going. And I virtually always found one that I could plug into. So yes, that's exactly how I guess I should say I used it, but it was sure a blessing.
Amen. And that mirrors the story for Christy and I also.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Scott Fisher. Scott, we just talked about the small group Bible studies, but you also have a couple of facilities where people and families can come and grow together. Talk about those.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And just to what you said, it is true that since our inception or formation in World War II in 1943, we just celebrated 80 years last month. The heart of OCF has been our small group fellowships, and they do serve as the backbone of our ministry around the globe. OCF also operates two dynamic conference centers where singles, couples, and families come together to be refreshed, taught from the scriptures, and encouraged in their military calling. These two conference centers, one's located in Colorado and the other in Pennsylvania, host thousands of guests at year-round programs that strengthen military marriages, equip local leaders for ministry all over the world, develop leadership skills in cadets, midshipmen, and junior officers, and reconnect military parents with their children of all ages, truly providing a home away from home for adults and children who are constantly uprooted every couple of years. And we spiritually invest in all members of the military community at these two locations.
Yes, when we were on active duty, and I've been retired, gosh, 1986 is when I retired. We visited both those places on different occasions, sometimes while transiting across the United States on a PCS, and sometimes just because of a neat place to go for Christmas or summer or whatever. And they're there. And you've got programs for kids and stuff like that too, don't you?
Absolutely. We have summer camps that go all through the summer where we put over 1,000 children through a variety of age-appropriate summer camps. And we have everything from high ropes courses to taking them out on rivers and spelunking. I mean, it is really the full course of menus. And one of the things that was most impactful personally in my life, after I'd been in a job where I had not been present in the family as much as I wanted, is that we offer opportunities for the entire family to come, where you do certain events together, like have meals and worship together, but then you go apart and the adults can do age-appropriate things for them and the children and youth can do age-appropriate activities for them as well. But the whole family gets to come together and it's powerful for uniting the families. Also, just as an example, we had a midshipman from the Naval Academy. Over 130 just go up to a retreat last month, and five midshipmen gave their life to the Lord, and another five ended up being baptized in some of the ponds that we have on the property there.
That's awesome. And I think that just, again, shows that OCF, while it's officially run by officers, it is for everyone in the military community, and it reaches out to them, and it touches all lives. To me, that's a hugely important thing. It didn't start that way, but it's been that way as long as I've been involved.
Right. I am proud to say that during our 80 years, we have learned. And part of that learning is that you cannot minister just to the service member, but you need to minister to their spouses and you need to minister to their families. And we are called Officers Christian Fellowship, not because OCF is ministry to officers, but because it's a ministry through officers who, by His grace, will positively impact the entire military community. I don't think most people realize it, but the United States Department of Defense is the largest employer in the nation with approximately 2.9 million employees when you include active duty civilians, Guard, and Reserve, serving in over 4,800 locations in over 160 countries in the world. So the military community really represents one of the nation's largest opportunities for impacting God's kingdom. And we focus predominantly on leaders because both history and the pages of scripture teach us that if you can change the hearts of leaders, then you can change the course of nations. So we need leaders right now who passionately love the Lord and obey His word. And I do genuinely believe now is a pivotal time to equip, encourage, and embolden Christian leaders within the military community. And just on a personal note, we have one son who's currently enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves and another son who graduates next week as an Army Cavalry Scout. And our prayer is that OCF would impact them and their generation of service members toward greater Christian maturity and integration of their faith into all aspects of their lives.
Yes, sir. Scott, we're out of time. How can listeners learn more or get involved with OCF? And I know you won't say this, but I'm going to say it. You're a nonprofit and you can use donations, cash to keep this thing going. How can people get in contact, stay in touch, and donate?
Thank you for asking that, because I'm excited and unashamed to ask you to prayerfully join us in impacting our military community and our nation for God's purposes. First, you could pray for our military service members and their families. They need it. The stresses, the challenges are real. Second, visit our website at ocfusa.org. You can sign up individually or with your church to attend a conference center event. You can subscribe to resources like our podcast called Crosspoint. And finally, as you mentioned, whether you've previously served or never had an opportunity to serve yourself, you can help support those currently wearing the uniform by investing in what God is doing in and through OCF. Simply go to ocfusa.org and hit the Donate Now button, or go to ocfusa.org/impact, and you can learn about how you can make a difference in some of our specific current initiatives going on across the country and around the world.
Thank you, brother. Scott, thank you for sharing about OCF today, and thank you for your continuing service to our nation.
Thank you, Denny. It is an absolute joy, and thank you for making sure that we continue to get the message out to an incredibly large and impactful audience. Our service members and their families really are as much in need of a living Savior today as when we were formed 80 years ago. And you and I both know there's a spiritual battle raging, but praise God, we know by His grace that we're on the winning side.
Indeed. Next up, we'll talk with Navy veteran Josh Campo. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down, do about 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second.
Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Danny Gilliam. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show Navy vet Josh Campo. Josh has served and is now working and has some interesting plans. And he's a neat guy. Welcome, Josh. Or am I supposed to say welcome aboard?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Danny. Yes, it is. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Josh, start by telling us when and why you decided to join the Navy. Did it have something to do with your time in high school or at home or what?
Actually, yeah, I had nothing to do with high school, and it was just kind of an impulse decision. I joined about 8 months after high school, and I was just realized that I was not going anywhere with my life, and I was just working a construction job, and I didn't have any structure, and I hated my job, and I was just like, my dad was in the Navy, and my grandpa was in the Navy, and I was just like, it can't be too bad. So I signed up and I got shipped out January 29th of 2019.
Okay. What kind of skills do they give you? What kind of jobs do they have?
I was a machinist mate on the USS Ronald Reagan, stationed in Yokosuka, Japan. And one of the main skills that I really learned is just really how to be a hydraulic mechanic and just how to maintain and uphold standards on equipment and how to perform corrective and planned maintenances on the on those equipment. It also brought a lot of structure and discipline into my life, which I previously did not have. So that was a big one as well.
You know, your story is a little bit typical for a lot of people who join the military, isn't it?
I would say so, yes.
And so you learned how to do some things you wanted to do. How long did you stay in the Navy?
I only had a 3-year active duty contract and a 5-year inactive duty. It was actually a really abnormal contract. Many of the people that I came across while serving, they're pretty dumbfounded and confused on how I had a 3-year active duty contract. But yeah, it was just 3 years. And while I was in there, I just realized it wasn't for me and I wanted to get out.
Okay. So you knew that wasn't what you wanted to do with the rest of your life, but was your time serving bad time?
You know, it's kind of one of those situations where while you're in there in the moment, it's like, man, you know, why am I doing this? But after the fact, when I look back on it, I really realize how much it did for my life and how much it made me who I am today. And I actually miss some of the times that I had out there with some of the guys and some of the things we used to do.
You know, that's not an uncommon story. I've heard it many times. Okay, so you got out. Now, you still had 5 years of inactive reserve, right, where they could call you if they needed you, but you didn't have to go to meetings. Is that the right category?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so how long have you been out, and what have you done since you got out?
I've been out just over 2 years. When I got out, I went to I did 1 year at Grand Valley University. I tried to walk on the football team, and it didn't quite work out, but I ended up, the Lord had a plan for me at Grand Valley. It wasn't football, but I ended up meeting my girlfriend at the time, but now my fiance. And then now I'm just working at Amazon right now, just trying to save up for the wedding this summer. And then this fall, me and my soon-to-be wife are going to move down to Albion. I'm going to finish up my college there while playing football down at Albion. Hopefully a start to a lengthy career down there.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Josh Campo. Well, Josh, I've met your fiance. You have very good taste in women. I can tell you that. So your vision now for the future is you want to finish your 4-year degree and you're going to play football for them. Did you play football in high school?
Yes, I did play football in high school. And I had opportunities to go to college to play. Paying a lot of money to go to a small school wasn't ideal, and I didn't want to do it. So I ended up skipping out on college.
Well, but you now you have the GI Bill, right?
Yes. Now I actually get paid to go to school by the military, and all my schooling expenses are covered.
You know, so that's a good deal. And you're fairly certain you'll make the football team, but, you know, I'm a pretty good-sized guy, and you make me look a little short. So, therefore, I would presume that a football coach is glad to see you.
Oh, yeah. I went down and was visiting with them about a month and a half ago, and they seemed pretty excited. So, yeah, I'm excited to go down there, and I'm really looking forward to just getting ready to get back out on the field.
What position do you play when you're playing football?
I'm a tight end. Tight end, defensive end.
Okay. I would have sort of saw you as an offensive end because you're tall and you got long arms. You get your hands way up there and catch the ball. But I guess you can also interfere with somebody who's trying to catch the ball too, can't you?
100%, 100%.
Okay. What do you plan to major in college?
I'm going to finish the degree I started at Grand Valley, which is exercise science, health and fitness, and kind of geared towards like the physical therapy, to be a physical therapist after everything's said and done.
Okay. Any thought about being a coach? Does that appeal to you?
I mean, not currently at the moment. I guess I never thought about that. I guess I'm just really still in the player mindset.
Okay. Nonetheless, you love and know the sport. So that it wouldn't shock you if you found yourself as a coach, part-time, full-time, volunteer, whatever, huh?
No, it wouldn't come to a shock to me at all. I love the game, so.
Okay. Your fiance, about to be wife sometime this summer, what kind of working do you think she'll be doing?
So right now, she works at the hospital, at Blodgett Hospital in Grand Rapids. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of talking with her about it right now. And it's probably going to be most likely she might transfer to a different hospital, maybe Kalamazoo or Jackson, which is not maybe like a 20-minute drive from Albion. So it's not terribly far away.
Okay, that makes sense. Josh, final question. Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
You know, that is a tough question. Where I would like to see myself 5 years from now is playing football at a higher level. But just how I am, I'm more concerned with making sure I'm just following what the Lord wants me to do in my life. So I kind of just play it by ear, you know, day by day, where he wants me to go, what he wants me to do, you know. So what I want to do most of the time is not what he wants me to do. So,
well, Josh, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for your intention to serve God for the rest of your life. God bless you as you go forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. God bless you too. And thank you for your service as well.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying gold or silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm. Twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net, never forget, never forgotten.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, we're joined by our great team member, Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane. How are you doing?
Thank you, Danny. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be with you. And this is no exception. So thank you for what we do each month.
Hey, this is January and your event's in March. So I'm guessing you're not bored. You've got a few things to do.
Well, we've published the schedule for those who are interested. It's on the website, and we would love to have you join us this year, March 21st through 24th in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Indeed. Okay, the movie was really cool. The movie is Cape May County, and Johnny Walker is the definition of a hometown hero. He apparently served in the military, but not in combat. But he apparently has devoted his life to helping veterans, especially those who are homeless or have real needs. He's a Cape May County hero, right?
Yes. I mean, sometimes in this world, I'm very proud to be from New Jersey. And this is an example of something that made me very proud. First of all, I love his name, Johnny Walker. And second of all, it's one thing to want to help. Like, you know, I can send a check to Wounded Warriors or this, but he's really, really put himself front and center. And I just thought, in this world where all we hear is nothing but terrible news, isn't it good to know that there are still good people on this earth?
Indeed. And he has devoted his life to it. I'm sure it fulfills him and all that kind of good stuff. But nonetheless, he has decided not to say and support good things, but to go out there and do them every day virtually. Wow. We really need people like him. We need to strongly recognize people that do that.
And of course, over the years, I've had several films about, the horrible suicide rate for our veterans. And to know that somebody's on the front line here, more than just say, hey, we need to do something about it, but really do something about supporting our veterans, just made me very happy to, again, to be a little bit in his wheelhouse here.
Yeah. Here's some comments that his dad and his grandfather served in combat in World War I and II, and he served during the Vietnam period, but not in Vietnam. You know, it bothers me that there are some people who, like him, served during the Vietnam era, but not in Vietnam, but don't feel that they're really veterans because they didn't serve in combat. He made his life available to serve. The fact the Army didn't take him for that and put him to work doing something else. He wasn't supposed to go start another war to get himself in combat.
Well, that's my point, Denny. Isn't that just a happenstance of fate about timing in life? I mean, hopefully it would be wonderful if nobody ever had to serve in combat. It's just, you know, again, to take what it means to be free and to know what the sacrifices have been made for us is really just as important as, you know, again, it's timing. I was a girl and they didn't have girl soldiers who was coming up. I mean, so much has to do with fate.
Well, and it's more than that. While I was in combat, we needed people back here in the States doing paychecks, maintaining equipment, buying new stuff. There's plenty of jobs for military and civilians, but military people in the States during combat. Somebody had to do it, and he did it. Could he have been sent overseas? Sure, he could have. Would he have gone and served well? Of course he would have. But the fact that you weren't sent somewhere, that's no reason to belittle any part of your service. And this guy obviously loves and serves our country and loves and serves his fellow soldiers.
Yeah, I think he's an amazing person. And I hope to meet him in March at the film festival. Again, You all are seeing this first. This is the first time I've done that, is show a film we're going to screen prior to us screening it. So, but I felt it was so enriching and I couldn't wait.
Believe me, I believe you. Another comment. He's quite a leader. He gathered a team, seemingly mostly of vets. I guess that's right. And he started helping vets in need. And it wasn't a one-time helping thing, which is good, doing one-time things. They're still at it. That means he's a leader and he knows how to share a vision and he knows how to take care of the people that's working with him or they'd wander off. We need leaders, right?
Oh, absolutely. Don't even start me.
Now, here's a comment that I thought was interesting. He wears a jacket that says DAV. That stands for Disabled American Veterans. He certainly could be a disabled veteran. He could have had a disease.
I believe he is. I don't think that's just happenstance. I believe there was something about that.
And there certainly could have been. Or it could have been the DAV honored him by giving him a jacket because he helps disabled veterans.
Well, that's true, too.
So I can't believe he was phonying up. That's no. I write that one off. But that was just an interesting thing. And whatever it was, he's the kind of guy the DAV should be honoring and respecting and supporting. And apparently they are. Here's another comment. He said there are not enough shelters for the homeless in his area, and most of the people don't want a homeless shelter in their neighborhood. You know, that's a good point. I don't want a homeless shelter in my neighborhood. On the other hand, if I don't want one in my neighborhood, why should it be anywhere?
Yeah, whose neighborhood do you want it in? And that's the next thing. Now, I don't know if anybody who's listening knows anything about Cape May County, New Jersey, but I mean, Cape May is a summer destination, but it's not, I mean, it's right there on the edge of the Pine Barrens. So it's really quite, you know, remote in some ways, especially in the winter months. So, you know, this is not an urban environment that these people are in. So, again, if we won't take these people, who will? And that's the point.
It is, particularly since they're our veterans.
Exactly. And again, I don't sit here able to speak my mind, which has often gotten me into trouble, without knowing that it came at a price. I really am well aware of that.
Okay, here's another one. He noted that while the VA does a great job, that they don't take vets by the hand and help them determine what they need that the VA can provide. If you don't know what you want from the VA, don't bother going there. And that's true. The VA, most places, do a really good job. If you're in the system, know what you want, and you're plugged in. It's getting there that is a challenge.
And of course, if you have any kind of mental or emotional disability, you need an advocate, because you're not capable of. Often people with those afflictions have a very low threshold of frustration, and you really need an advocate. And that's the point, is he said he's fulfilling that mission.
And one guy said, I don't go to the VA anymore. I found them just a bunch of jerks. Well, there are some VA facilities that are like that. Most are not. I don't know what else to say. That's just reality.
Again, I think that speaks to the low threshold of frustration. And again, anything that has to do, you have to go online for, creates another barrier. It's about barriers.
It is. I like the fact that he said sometimes vets just need someone to talk to. That's a really good point. Somebody who will show interest in them personally, not drop something off, but actually spend some time with them, just talking with them. That's awesome. Final comment, and then we're about done. He encouraged people who see somebody wearing a veteran hat to say, thank you for your service. And he said his favorite response is, it was my honor.
Aw.
That's great.
That's touching.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, we got a minute. Again, the film festival is in March. Give us again the dates and times and how to get there.
It's March 21 through 24 in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and you can see all about it and the schedule and the wonderful films that we're screening this year on www.gsff.org. And please seek me out. If you make the event, come and say hi. I would love to meet you in person.
Diane, thank you. Thank you for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. Thank you for the great movies you find for us. Thank you that we can continue to work together going into future years. And I'm delighted, just delighted with the way things work out like this.
Me too, Danny. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up next, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups right now. How about 64 now? I want you Ranger ready. Then stand at ease. When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin is the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Susan, who is not a vet, was happy to hear about Concerned Veterans for America being willing to help non-veterans help change our goofy nation.
Susan, you'll find them easy to work with and quite effective.
And Chaz, an Air Force vet, is outraged at the way our government is pushing Israel to take it easy on the people who are trying to kill them.
Chaz, the people living in Gaza are supporting Hamas. We bombed the cities in Japan and Germany to end World War II. Our government is not acting responsibly. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, on 30 January 1943, during World War II, the British Royal Air Force began a bombing campaign on the German capital that coincided with the 10th anniversary of Hitler's accession to power. The Allies had agreed to launch a combined and sustained strategic bombing effort against the Germans. Strategic bombing was the use of bombers to destroy an enemy's war-making capacity, also referred to as area bombing. To celebrate Hitler's anniversary, both Propaganda Minister Joseph Goebbels and Luftwaffe Commander Hermann Göring planned to give radio addresses to the German masses. Goebbels intended to bolster morale by hailing an impending victory in Russia. As the speeches were broadcast, RAF fighters rained bombs on Berlin. These devastating attacks on German cities would last until the end of the war. To make matters worse for the Germans, the next day a massive surrender of German troops occurred in Stalingrad.
And that was true. And on the 1st of February 1943, during World War II, Japanese forces on Guadalcanal Island, defeated by our Marines, started to withdraw after their emperor finally gave them permission. Their emperor controlled things. On July 6, 1942, the Japanese landed on Guadalcanal and began constructing an airfield. In response, our troops landed on Guadalcanal and had an easy time of it, at least initially. Over 11,000 Marines landed, but 24 hours passed before the Japanese realized it. Our forces quickly took the airfield, and the outnumbered Japanese troops retreated. But Japanese reinforcements were landed, though, and fierce hand-to-hand jungle fighting ensued. Our troops were at a disadvantage as they were assaulted by both sea and air. But when reinforcements arrived, we gained the advantage. Then the Japanese retreated on secret orders. Their retreat was so stealthy, we didn't even know it until we stumbled upon abandoned positions, empty boats, and discarded supplies. The Japanese lost over 25,000 men. We lost 1,600. Each side lost 24 warships. Wow.
Yeah. And on 2 February 1943, during World War II, the last of the German forces fighting at Stalingrad, Russia, surrendered despite Hitler's earlier declaration that all troops will fight to the very end. The Battle of Stalingrad began in the summer of 1942 as German forces assaulted the city, a major industrial center. But despite repeated attempts, the German 6th Army and part of the 4th Panzer Army couldn't break past the defense despite encircling Stalingrad. Diminishing resources, guerrilla attacks, and the Russian winter began to take their toll on the Germans. On November 19, the Soviets launched a counteroffensive that began with a massive artillery bombardment. The Soviets then encircled the enemy. Surrender was their only hope for survival, but Hitler refused it. German General von Paulus held out until January 31, 1943, when he finally surrendered. Of over 280,000 men, half were already dead or dying, and remaining 91,000 were hauled off to Soviet prisoner of war camps, from which most never returned.
That's just plain horrible. And on 30 January 1968, during the Vietnam War, in coordinated attacks all across South Vietnam, communist forces launched their largest offensive of the Vietnam War. Dozens of cities, towns, and villages, military bases, including our embassy in Saigon, were attacked. The massive offensive was not a military success for the communists, but its size and intensity shook the confidence of many Americans who were led to believe by the Johnson administration that the war would shortly be coming to a successful close. During the Tet Holiday ceasefire in South Vietnam, an estimated 80,000 communist troops attacked cities and military establishments throughout South Vietnam. Most of the attacks were turned back, with the communists suffering heavy losses. But the battles raged throughout the country for weeks. The fight to reclaim the city of Hue from the communist troops was particularly destructive. I was in that fight. American and South Vietnamese forces lost over 3,000 men during the offensive. Communist losses were about 40,000. There were no military successes for the communists. The Tet Offensive led many Americans to wonder whether our military could prevail over communist threats on foreign shores. In the 1950s, Americans almost unconditionally supported a vigorous response to communism. In the wake of the Tet Offensive, support for our effort in Vietnam began steadily to decline. And that's military history for today. And it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, brother.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a woman who had a concealed carry license took on four armed men who tried to carjack her early Wednesday morning in Calumet Heights neighborhood. Police say the 23-year-old woman was sitting in her car shortly after 2 a.m. near 89th Street and Kentwood Avenue when four men got out of a black sedan and one of them tried to open her car door while flashing a gun. The woman shot the man in the head, then ran from her car. Another of the would-be carjackers shot the woman in the left arm. The woman was taken to Advocate Trinity Hospital in fair condition. A short time after the attack, the man she shot was found dead inside a stolen car about 2 miles away.
Thanks, Colonel. Many of the criminal scenarios that we discuss on the show are totally avoidable. In short, they'd never happen in the first place if people lived smarter and wiser lives. For example, why was a 23-year-old woman sitting alone in a parked car on a public street after 2 a.m.? Is that a safe thing for her to be doing? No, absolutely not. If my daughter did that, I'd give her a very serious lecture on common sense. As I always tell my students, nothing good happens outside your home after 10 p.m. at night. That's when people indulge in drugs and alcohol, putting them in an altered state of mind with less inhibitions. When people are under the influence of drugs and alcohol, they do bad things that they normally wouldn't do. Why are criminals so active at night? Well, because they feel less accountable. They know they're less likely to get caught because they're hidden by the cover of darkness. From a military tactics point of view, that makes good sense to operate at night. The victim can't see you coming, so it's easier to ambush him successfully. In this particular scenario, the woman's response was pretty good. He dispatched one criminal with a shot to the head, and 3 out of 4 headshots result in immediate incapacitation. I'm assuming the shot was within 3 feet, so it wasn't a difficult shot, but wise shot selection nonetheless. Leaving the car may not have been the best idea, though. Perhaps her best option would have been to start the car and drive away with her head down. Despite all that, she survived and took out a violent criminal in the process. Unfortunately, she now carries the emotional trauma of killing another human, and she'll have to heal from that along with the hole in her arm. Front Lines of Freedom strongly suggests that our listeners stay off the violent streets at night. Just go home and go to bed or watch a movie. It's much safer, and you won't get shot or have to kill someone in self-defense.
Good point, Skip. Good point. Our movie of the month is Cape May County. We just reviewed it. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link and watch it for free. It's cool. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk with retired Marine General and Congressman Jack Bergman. Then we'll hear from Chris Stone, Gun Owners of America, and we'll discuss women veterans. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation, and now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call-to-action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.